The first people were becoming the last of their kind. Nowadays, the color of your skin determines if you have civil rights or not. The white skin color considers itself superior to all the others. The white skin Adam is, according to the Bible, the first man on earth, and woman is just a product of him. She is the temptress and the slave. But Adam was not the first man on earth, Qu'ali maintained. There were both men and women among the people of the sun and the stars. The skin color of the people from Zaya was the result of pigment, not a reason for evaluating each other. All humans have the same value. The love for the Creator and for your neighbor is the only religion we should follow. This and much more, the handsome Native American told us. He only had one mission before his eyes, to save the planet that had belonged to the people of the sun and the stars right from the origin. Every human being is descended from them. You cannot recreate the old, but you can build something new and valuable that is accepted by a whole earth, he considered. I listened attentively. How about evil, General? Where does it go? I asked. Those who carry their evil, their violence, their abuse, and most of all their desire for power on the outside, those who live in it and for it, will not remain on Earth in new lives. We have arranged places for them on other planets, where they will learn new ways of living and where they can atone for their crimes, above all the violence against their own self. What is the future for Earth? I wondered. You have heard about the changes, haven't you? He answered, with a swift smile. You have heard of catastrophes, famines, wars and civil wars, floods, and earthquakes, right? Isn't that enough to explain that not only has Mother Earth had enough, but so has her Creator? But now we are guiding Earth towards a brighter day. We are under the command of the Great Spirit, although we are called the Ashtar Command. Ashtar only takes orders from the Creator himself, and he is our link to the Great Spirit. The Earth's living heart is beating in our hands, and her tears are our power source. We are the Knights of Space and the spiritual warriors of Earth. It is with pride, joy, and humility that I thank you, my skilled co-workers, for your contribution today. This time there won't be such dire consequences for Earth and Sea, but we must keep our eyes on the nuclear power stations. The risk of accidents due to human error always lurks in the background. Perhaps my readers think that I am lecturing? Be like this, do that, and you will be a worthy member of our Lord's pasture. But try to understand that I do not have the intention of being a wiser or to convince you of what is right or wrong. I fully trust that you know that best yourselves. I just want to tell you about all the wonderful and fantastic things I have experienced, and at the same time show you that I still have many human weaknesses left. I will now tell you about one of them. About earthly emotions and all love. When we returned to our beautiful barracks, a feast was waiting for us. Feasts occur frequently here, but they are not the drinking bouts they are on Earth. We meet and eat and drink the cosmic way, and that means that our food is quite different from anything my readers can imagine. It's not possible to describe it in more detail. We listen to music and we experience light theater. It's also difficult to put our entertainment into words. Light theater could be formatting of angels to music. It could be images in extraordinary colors and patterns, it could be song, speech, and not the least, dance. I hurried to take a seat next to the lovely Tiri before somebody else did. She had avoided me all along. What's the matter with you? I asked, in a rather indignant tone. First I save your life, and then you dissociate yourself from me. Don't you know how much I like you? Yes, that's exactly what I do know, she replied, and started to laugh. Saved my life, aren't you funny? But when you helped me over there, your soul came so close to mine that I couldn't avoid feeling its radiation. That was also a dangerous radiation, January. Well, you know that I am grateful, and I like you, too. But among the first things we learned in Angel's school was to eliminate as much as we could from our personal ego emotions, in order to be included in the law of divine, unconditional love. Have you forgotten that? We are not allowed to feel the personal, individual love between man and woman. January, not the kind I felt coming from you. Desire belongs on earth. We're allowed to love each other and live together here in perfect soul love, but that's quite another thing. Yes, I know, and I understand, I replied irritably. But I haven't been able to control my emotions that arise when I see you. Furthermore, you belong to my soul group, so there is a glorious mess inside of me. That mess is your responsibility, she said, smiling. In addition, every soul has its dual, and that's who it belongs to. So it's not worthwhile going out on the loose while your flame is down on earth incarnating, as are both yours and mine. But just wait till we meet them. Maybe we can persuade them to stay with us, in order to avoid heart-rending scenes like this. Heart-rending scenes, I thought. Obviously, I still have far too many gen emotions of both the one and the other kind. When I looked up, I saw Zar's eyes fixed on me. He raised his goblet, and I saw a roguish gleam in his eyes. It's all becoming clearer, he shouted, right across the table. You and I need to talk about emotions. That's exactly what we did. A little later, we sat together in a flowery arbor in the garden. The most important thing a human has is emotions, my dear leader began. I am not a moralist, and here it's not a question of that kind of thoughts, but the emotions must be guided in the right direction. You know that. Falling in love, desire, and sex are all part of the suffering and the happiness of life on earth. We bring pieces of it all with us here. But here it's time to learn to sublimate those emotions. That does not mean that we'll get bored, does it? Here you will find all kinds of positive joy, dancing, playing, and singing, but not lovemaking games. We have so much love and live in it, so that it gives us energies stronger than the rays of the sun. The energies we emanate are compressed love. We emanate them to ourselves, to each other, to the earth, to our entire universe. These energies are tremendously active. It is with their help we are able to breathe and move. It is from them we derive all the talents we possess. Do you understand? I'm trying to, anyway, I answered. Your emotions must be part of the wholeness, Zar went on. From there, they radiate out into the entire cosmos with the infinite power of universal love. That is how all of us work. On the other hand, if your emotions overflow and become emotional tradesmen, offering their goods at sale price, you will destroy the power of the energies you emanate. That's a bit harsh. Just because I like somebody a little more than others, I protested. You may like as many people as you want, Zar objected. You and I and Sharla like each other a lot. It's your earthly bodily emotions that you haven't succeeded in processing quite yet. These emotions are still there after the crossing in most humans, but many of them stay in the no man's world or the astral world. We need you here, in the ethereal world. But if you prefer to devote yourself to your desires, you must go back to the no man's world, where there is a lot of that kind of thing. If you want to work with the angels and with us, you must learn to control such emotions and instead work with your all love. It's your choice. Of course I choose to stay here, I muttered. I felt very distressed at the harsh words, but I have later on understood how important it is to learn to feel the right way. Emotions are important, but to control them is even more important. Sublimating one's emotions is not done at the wave of an angel's wing. You were allowed to retain the memory of your last life on Earth. This was necessary for various tasks, including the cooperation with your medium. But now you will return to Kuali, because you have not finished your military education yet. I was glad about staying with Kuali a little while longer. I thought Tiri would be reassigned, but that was not the case. She belonged to Kuali's protégés, just as before. I cannot call us soldiers, because nothing could be less soldier-like than the life we lived in the Ashtar Command's barracks. However, there was a very strict discipline, not because of strict orders, but because we ourselves wanted it. Henry was in a completely different part of the gigantic space fleet. Since the regions of the Ashtar Command extended around the whole ethereal world, there were innumerable departments, military units, camps, and other operations there. If I had still been living on Earth and had fallen in love with a colleague, it would have ended in a relationship or being split up, with removal to separate departments. Here it was the opposite. You were confronted with the problem until it was eliminated. Hard emotional demands were put on me, but I put them there myself. I was the only one who could go inside myself and contact the higher self, and that was what was expected of me. When Tiri was nearby, everything was twice as hard, but bit by bit I learned to meditate forth a different relationship to her. She became a very good and devoted friend. I realized that this was the best solution. Neither of us would be deceived if our emotions took over. In the beginning they did. But she simply became the best teacher for me in emotional control. The expression emotional control may seem harsh to human ears, but the words do not have the same meaning here as on Earth. Here everything is emerging into the wholeness and an unselfish, unlimited feeling of love, which is difficult to explain to an Earthling. There, I have just invented a good word. To you, Ashtar and other visitors from other planets are extraterrestrials. To us you are, dear world inhabitants, Earthlings. That's a binding word, because you have to be properly earthed as long as you live on Tellus. My missions were many and far-reaching, and Tiri and I were often sent out together. Sometimes Tone went with us. Tone was a soul who I did not understand. There was a little discomfort between us angels. He was so evasive, I couldn't get a hold on him. He often smiled instead of answering, and when we were on a mission together, he would suddenly disappear without a word. He was probably clever in his field, but he seemed shy. He was quiet and friendly. However, once he told us that he had died of cancer as the result of working in a nuclear power station in Russia. My other friends were jolly, and several of them belonged to my soul group. The feasts we had after every successful mission were something to look forward to. We danced and sang and enjoyed being together, and of course, we still do. I have told you about the nuclear power station. There were other missions, including preventing the expansion of floods, canalizing water, and at the same time purifying it. When major railway accidents and car accidents occurred and many people died, we had to make sure that the right people survived and give them courage and strength. Best of all, I like working with tasks involving the dark, aromatic soil that I have always loved since childhood. I like to float around in the forests and prepare the beings of nature for all sorts of environmental hardships and help them with cleaning procedures for air, wind, and water, and much, much more. But it was only for a short time that I was sent on such missions. They were small potatoes, as Tiri called them. The major tasks involved preventing or at least reducing violence, hatred, and evil, especially in the big cities. I did not like big cities, maybe that was why I was sent to Hong Kong, New York, London, Paris, Rome, and many other cities. Big cities are as unpleasant for a spirit as for an Earthling, but I learned a lot. I was never allowed to materialize in these places. I was air in the air, even if the city air was so thick that it felt like pancake batter. My first pupil. On one occasion when Kuali called upon me, I had just come from Iraq. It had been an unpleasant experience, even though I was there in a helping and preventive capacity, because a moral disarmament went on there, interspersed with an ominous warlike rearmament. You have done well for quite a long time, were Kuala's words of welcome, making me proud and happy. Your missions have been dealing with Mother Earth, because you feel such a special affinity with her. I appreciate that, because the old Indian remains as much in me as the farm boy does in you. My entire earthly life was an initiation into nature. Unfortunately, there will not be much nature left, if no changes occur on Earth soon. I have a dream, Jan. I dream of new, fresh grass growing on Earth and new, fresh flowers poking their colorful heads up wherever there is free land. I have a dream that water in lakes, rivers, and seas will be free of poison, and that salmon and trout will dance in the brooks. I dream of humans living in fellowship in small communities, with peaceful exchange of words and deeds. I dream of graceful willow trees, dipping their branches in the water while small happy children play on the beaches with nature's own toys, stones, pine cones, and sticks. I see an old man sitting amidst them. He is carving a beautiful boat while he is telling fairy tales and legends of times long past. The children listen, because children can always listen as long as the grown-ups don't take the listening away from them. I dream of the mass media used in a positive way, to help, teach, and delight the humans, and also to mediate knowledge of ancient cultures with long since forgotten customs and rituals. All this I would like to give to Earth. Not just me, but the whole ethereal world wants to see a new Earth. That's what we are working towards, what we hope for, and what we are trying to implement. Jan, I have a new mission for you. I want you to take care of a young boy who has recently arrived here. He is from a Swedish incarnation and is called Lass. He died in a motorbike accident that was arranged by his own gang, who call themselves Hell's Angels. Tone, bring the boy here. The general shouted the last sentence into the air, and hey presto, Tone was there with a young man who looked very lost. He was tall and somewhat lanky, with fair, untidy hair down to his shoulders, and his thin, pale face was hardly friendly. He clenched his teeth and looked furtively at me. Yet there was quite a strong light around the boy. His face would have been beautiful if it had been showing a faint smile. His slender hands with long, well-shaped fingers betrayed artistry. I embraced him. He was as stiff as a poker. Come with me, I suggested. And I will show you around. Inside, I wondered how a boy like this could have ended up in the ethereal world and if he would really listen to me. How come you were murdered? I asked him, while we were strolling in the park. They did not like me, was his simple answer. I mean, my mates. I was interested in things they did not understand, astrology, alchemy, esotery, and such things. The boy's words surprised me. I hadn't expected knowledge about such things. But of course, there must be a reason for him to be here. And now you want to stay here? Was my friendly question. Nope. Thought so at first, but now I long to return to Earth. I thought that I would get even with those bast. He stopped himself swearing and smiled a bit embarrassed. That's a beginning, I thought. So, you want to carry on with drugs, violence, and evil? I asked him coldly. I never said that. He turned two big, dark blue and surprised eyes on me, and suddenly the sullen face burst into a big, friendly smile. How beautiful he became. You want to get revenge for your murders, don't you? I exclaimed. That's what you said. You can get revenge in several ways, he answered, still smiling. I am going to get revenge with love. I'm going to teach them what life is really about. They called me the Black Messiah, because their black souls had dark epithets for everything. You talk as if you had read a lot of books, I said, astonished. I finished sixth form last year, he answered. Got a bike from my old man, a Harley Davidson. Then it was clear cut, either join their angels of hell or be pestered by them every time I rode my bike. So I joined them. But when I saw what they were doing, I tried to reason with them. I was actually really in love with the girl who was with them, too. For her sake I continued to play the game, but in the end, I couldn't hack it. Then it was goodbye. Instead, five of them drove into me out in the wilderness. What hurt me most was that my girl was with me. It's sort of meaningless to be born to some kind of missionary and not get the time to be one. And so you came up here? I continued to ask. Up, well. At first I thought I was going down, but there were lots of angels around me. Have always believed in angels without the hells bit, ha ha. So I guess I realized that I had come in the right direction, finally. What are we going to do now? Now I laughed. What a wonderful lad. I really liked him. Are you sure you're not going to stay here? I asked. It's tough down on Earth now. Who knows what will happen to you if you end up there again? It's not that bad, he answered happily. Now of course I know where I will come when I kick the bucket. Here seems to be dead good, but no, I need to go back. Shame on the one who gives up. Then you must be taught by me for a while, I warned him jestingly. If you insist on going back to Earth, you must bring something back. You must have a task, a mission. That sounds okay, he answered, and whistled. Where do we begin? Here and now, I explained, in a resolute tone. You are now on a naval base which is under the control of the Ashtar Command. Ashtar is... I know who Ashtar is, Lass interrupted. He is the boss of the whole space gang. I suppose I have read quite a lot about those chaps, but nothing about you or written by you. I had not expected that either, I said. You were born long after the time of the poor farm laborers, but now you will acquire knowledge that you will bring to Earth. It will be filed in your subconscious mind. Do you wish to go back to Sweden? Absolutely, he answered with conviction. Preferably to the same mum. And my old man, too. There was nothing wrong with him, except that he never had time for me, because he was a politician with parachute contracts. So he pretty much slaved his life away. Mum loved to read science fiction and New Age books. I want to be born in Sweden, and later on I want go to the USA and study the Native Americans. I like them. That sounds good, lass, I answered. Native Americans are your origin. But you have to learn a whole lot before we let you leave. For instance, you must learn to be responsible for your own life. You are a unique individual, as is every human being. You have your aura, your karma, and your dreams. Never forget who you are, that you are here right now, and that you have your own free will. During childhood, you need guidance and love. When you're grown up, you get your own integrity and must be responsible for your actions. We don't decide now which parents you will have this time. This is my basis for teaching you, and if you like it, we will start now. He liked it. And I had my first pupil in the Grand, Infinite School. I look back on my time with Lass as something enriching and instructive for both of us. Sometimes Tiri joined in, and she brought something extra special to our conversations. Lass worshipped the ground on which she was floating, and I laughed up my sleeve at the boy's yearning. I even felt shared in it. I was beginning to understand myself more and more, and that was thanks to Lass. I also understood why Kuali had given me this particular boy as a pupil. I informed the dear American Indian chief of that a little later and added that I was really happy that Henry's and my prank had brought me here. Did you really think that? Kuali exclaimed, laughing heartily. Do you think that this is some kind of convict settlement? My dear friend, it is an honor and a distinction to take part in the Ashtar Command. Jan, we never punish, we restructure. We knew all along that you had plenty of grit and that you were one of our most gifted adepts. We are happy that you like serving here until it is time for a new promotion. But I want to stay here, I stammered. Kuali, you have become like a father to me, and a best friend. You are my ideal, a role model that I always want to carry within me. Come, come, my boy, Kuali interrupted, and patted my shoulder. Let's not exaggerate. We are all parts of the wholeness. I won't stop being your friend after your move. You can see me whenever you want to, and I volunteer as your advisor, if you need that kind of help. That was, of course, a consolation. I returned to my task with Lass. He had a sharp intellect, and he stored all knowledge in the right way, so that it could be brought to Earth. In that context, I want to tell the reader that the children who are born into the world now, the last years of the old century and henceforth, bring knowledge from our worlds and store it so that it lies near the surface and just needs a little nourishment to come to light. Lass at last decided to be born to his own little sister, who had been 14 years old when he died. Now she was newly married and was dreaming of a child. We had many and long discussions on how he best would use the luggage he was bringing. The old culture of the Native Americans formed an important part of his plans for the future. Finally, the moment arrived when I accompanied him to the part of the angelic realm where the birth chamber was. There are birth chambers in the no man's world, in the astral world, and the ethereal world, because in all these worlds there are souls who either want to or have to return to Earth. A last embrace, and after that, loving angels brought Lass into the beautiful chamber that was the terminal station or initial station, whichever meaning you put into the word. With a heavy heart, I returned to the angelic realm. But there a pleasant surprise awaited me. 16. Holia and Sanander. The farm laborer's cottage that I loved so when I lived on Earth was standing there, gray and worn in its simple beauty, among birches that had just come into leaf, mighty oaks with swelling buds, and a scent of new-mown grass. The ground under the trees was covered with wild blue anemones, white wind flowers, and a few cowslips. Sharla and Zar came out of the cottage and welcomed me. This was my reward for a long time of assiduous work at Kuala's side, for how long, I actually don't know. My whole soul group also got there, and we had an inaugural ceremony, which was the happiest one I'd ever experienced. Now the higher education began for the Adept Jan, and I was grateful that I occasionally could creep into my cottage and enjoy just to exist in an existence which stretches far beyond the human ability to think. The goddess Helia, the Virgin Mary. It was not only Zar who was conveying the knowledge that I now got to enjoy. To my inexpressible delight, we visited the Master Jwilkuel several times and also met his colleagues. I was allowed to accompany Zar to the Nine Elders, and I got to meet the Master Sananda, alias Jesus Christ. Perhaps this sounds bombastic and affected to the reader's ears, but that was not the case. All these meetings were happy and cozy. I cannot tell you about everything I got to see and hear, it would be too extensive. But I would like to convey a little bit about the world of the Elohim, the world of the Seraphim, and the central world of rays of the Great Spirit. Sometimes I was with my soul group, sometimes alone. The worlds you can see on the cosmic map were not all that we experienced. We also traveled to foreign planets and visited other star systems in other galaxies. Helia was the one who told me about the Elohim. It was quite a brief summary, because what these masters accomplish takes place on so many levels and to such an extent that an earthly brain cannot possibly grasp it. Their field of activities encompasses our whole universe. But first of all, I want to talk about the goddess, she said. You don't know much about her, even though you have been a real lady killer in several of your lives. I am the goddess. I carry within me the energies of the sun and the moon, the day and the night, and the seasons. But I am also the mother in everything. I am yin, Sananda is yang, and if he is the son of God, then I am God's daughter. Together we are love. You men have never learned about the goddess, and therefore the male has gotten the upper hand on earth. The position of woman has become subordinate. But it has not always been so. To a large extent, it's the fault of the Old Testament that contempt for women has come to play such a prominent part. In earlier times, women were respected all over the earth. The woman in confinement, the mother, and the mistress were exalted as ideals among more people than you can imagine. After that, the New Testament came, with the woman hater Paul. It is easy to disdain things that you know so little about. You will not find the truth described anywhere, but this is the truth. Sanandu and I are brother and sister, born from the same mother-father. If this knowledge has been written down somewhere, which was the case on Atlantis, it has been obliterated and forgotten. Yet you have the symbol of the yin-yang sphere, where black and white are intertwined in a uniform and eternal symmetry. Where has the basic meaning of this gone? When we were created, my brother and I, it wasn't a matter of the strong and the weak. There was absolute equality between strength and weakness, where one makes up for the other and where the cooperation is not only an image, but also action. But the male dominance became a fact, given wings by time. Thus it was the goddess who disappeared, and she must appear again in the current century on Earth. Man is about to destroy Mother Earth. Some women follow him in order to enjoy his favors, others are powerless, as onlookers of the approaching catastrophe. But there are goddesses, both here and on Earth. They cannot appear without help from the women. Bring out the goddess within you, I ask my sisters.